Take your Bible to Acts 14. We'll continue on this morning in a series preaching through the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and those that accompanied him. And we began in Acts 13. Now we're in Acts 14, still on the first missionary journey, just slowly making our way through these passages. And hopefully the messages will be a help and a blessing to you as we preached last week about the importance of the gospel. And there they preached the gospel. Orders remain as directed. That was Jesus' last command. It has not changed. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 14, let's stand, please. We're going to read two sections this morning. We're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10. And then we're going to drop down and read verses 19 and 20. 8, 9, and 10, and then 19 and 20. And that'll be our text this morning. And we'll be into it in just a few moments after the special. Please join me on the odd-numbered verses, on verses 9 and 19, okay? And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Now down to verse number 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Let's pray together, and then we'll have our special and the message. Dear Father, it's a good day to be in your house. It was a beautiful Sunday morning, glorious today as the sun rose. Thank you so much for creation, for what it does to teach us of your power and excellence. God, Lord, thank you for the sun that's in our hearts this morning, more than the sun that's in the universe. Because, Lord, truly, because you live in us, it's a good day. Whether it's rainy outside or sunny, doesn't matter. It's a good day. And it's a good day when we can go to church. You said that in your book. So, Lord, help us this morning to enjoy this service. May the Spirit of God have free access. May He give liberty in this hour to just be free, Lord, to enjoy the message, to learn from it, to be benefited in some fashion. And I'll be careful to thank and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Oh!
Sing about Jesus and not affect you. Amen. Good song this morning. All right, in verse number 8, 9, and 10, and verses 19 and 20, we're going to talk this morning about what a day. What a day. What a day in the life of the Apostle Paul, as we read about here in this Scripture. Let's pray together. Our Father, this is an amazing passage, an amazing event. Help us to get out of it something that will help us, bless us, and Lord, teach us, and Lord, cause us to live more like we ought to live for Your honor and glory. Help us, Lord, not to be like the Apostle Paul. Help us to be like You. Help us to live like this book teaches us to live. May we learn from this morning. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room that might not be certain about their eternal destiny. I pray that You'll speak to that heart as well as specifically today. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Paul was a man who studied the Old Testament Scriptures extensively. I am sure he was familiar with the verse in Proverbs chapter 27, 1. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You have no idea what tomorrow will bring forth. You have no idea what's going to happen throughout the rest of this day. And as Paul began this particular day, recorded in these verses, he really had no idea at all about how the events of this day would unfold and what they would hold in store for him. He had no idea that before this day was over, he would see heaven. Not just see heaven, he'd visit heaven. He'd be there in spirit. And I'll guarantee you, friend, when he woke up this morning and began his day, he had no idea that that event would take place. It started with Paul and Barnabas preaching the gospel. In verse number 8, the Bible says there was a certain man, and at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Paul and Barnabas preaching the gospel. And here was a man, crippled from birth. Lame, the Bible says, from his mother's womb. Now, in this man's healing, friend, it is a beautiful picture of salvation. You see, every baby born in this world is crippled spiritually from the time they are conceived in their mother's womb. Crippled spiritually. David put it this way. The Bible says David said about himself, he was conceived in sin. That does not mean that David was conceived in some kind of a illegitimate relationship between a man and a woman who were not married. Doesn't mean that at all. David, when he said he was conceived in sin, he meant that the moment he was conceived in the womb of his mother, he possessed a sin nature. He was conceived in sin, as a sinner, okay? And then he said another place in the book of Psalms. He said that people, quote, go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. He said they go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. In other words, every baby born into this world is crippled by sin. It may not be a physical matter. It may not be the fact that they have lame feet, or you have a deformed arm or something. But every boy, every girl born to this world is crippled by a sin nature. Now this lame man is a picture of each one of us, spiritually speaking. And Paul was there preaching and he noticed in this man the look of faith to be healed. And the Bible says in verse number 9 and 10, Paul healed him. Paul commanded his healing. Now, I was going to take time this morning, but I ripped a whole page out of my notes. I was going to establish with you this morning why in the book of Acts you still see this kind of healing going on. And I was also going to establish why you don't see this kind of healing today. And why the quote unquote healing that's taking place in charismatic churches is a farce. But I don't have time to do that. I had to decide what was priority. What was the most important for sake of... So I ripped that whole thing out of here this morning. But you have to understand, friend, Acts is a transition book. Acts is a transition between Old Testament and New Testament. When the book of Acts, when the events of the book of Acts were taking place, we did not have a completed Bible. We didn't have Revelation. We didn't have a lot of the epistles. And so God was still confirming His Word with signs and healings and wonders. Today we have an entire book completed, the book of Genesis through Revelation. And when God finished Revelation 22:21, He closed the book. He said, that's it, no more. Closed book here. So this is why that kind of stuff is over today. All that tongues and healings and sign gifts, it's done, it's concluded, it's over. But Paul saw the look of faith in this man. And he told him, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Paul saw the faith, look of faith, and he healed that man. Now, friend, thank God, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be healed from our crippled, sinful condition. Still, that's what happens. You can be healed from that crippled condition that crippled you by sin. You can be healed from that by trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says this crippled man leaped up. Look at verse 10. He leaped and walked. Now look, friend, do you realize when I got off my knees October 15th, 1975, I could walk physically before I got down on my knees. I stood up. Nothing was different about me physically. But I'm going to tell you something happened inside of me to my old dead spirit when I got saved that night. You know what happened? My dead spirit leaped up and took off on a relationship with God Almighty that's still in existence today. And that happens to anybody who gets saved. You have a dead spirit. You're out of fellowship with God. You can't communicate with God. There's no relationship with God there. But when you trust in Jesus as your personal Savior, your spirit comes alive and stands up inside of you and has fellowship and communication and relationship with Almighty God. And you set out on a lifetime of having a relationship with God Almighty in heaven. That's what happens when you get saved. That's a great picture here in this chapter. You see, unsaved people, their spirit is dead, crippled by sin. But when they trust in and receive Jesus as Savior, the spirit leaps to life, takes off. Oh, we're cutting out here, Brother Greg. Takes off on a relationship with God. If that happens again, we'll ditch it and go to the pulpit mic, okay? Now, the night I got saved, this is what happened to me. And when you got saved, that's what happened to you. And I tell you something, friend, that you could be sitting in this auditorium this morning, people in this room, you're alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. Your spirit's dead. There's no relationship with God. You got a relationship with religion. You got a relationship with a church routine. But you have no relationship with God. Your spirit's dead. What makes it alive? That baptismal water doesn't make it alive. Communion elements don't make it alive. No, sir. What makes it alive is the Spirit of God speaking life to your spirit. And it leaps up and takes off on a relationship with God. Amen. Now, if you're unsaved, you need to get saved. Put pride aside. If you're a church member who's lost, put pride aside. If you don't know that you're saved, get it taken care of. This is a beautiful picture here of salvation and this man's healing. Now, the people of Lystra, they saw this crippled man walking, running around. They saw him walking, running around. See their reaction in verse 11 here. Look at it. We didn't read this in the text, but I want you to see. That's it. This thing is not good. So let's just go here to this right here. And I'll have to be a caged lion today. Amen. Is this thing on? Okay, here we go. I'll stay behind the pulpit today. Boy, that's hard for me to do. I'll use that thing. We bought it. Might as well use it, right? Amen. I like to preach with my hands. I like to preach with my hands. Amen. So you can't move your hand like this anyway. But I can't stand behind this pulpit either. Okay. So especially when we get to where we're going in just a few minutes. Look at verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lucania, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. You see, these were heathen people, Gentile folks. They worship a bunch of false gods. They said, hey, man alive, look at here. The gods have come down to earth. They even gave Paul and Barnabas a name. Look at verse number 12. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. I mean, they started worshiping these men as if they were gods. I don't have... And by the way, the religious priests got involved, naming Paul and Barnabas, Mercurius and Jupiter, respectively. And look at what it says in verse number... where is it at here? Verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people to Paul and Barnabas. Sacrifice with Paul and Barnabas, to Paul and Barnabas. Making offerings to them, sacrifices. You see, look, if this teaches anything in the world, listen very carefully. There is in the heart of every person the created innate desire to worship a divine being. I don't care if it's a hottentot in remote Africa, friend, who climbs a tree to stare off into space, or if it's a guy who lives in downtown New York City who tries to cover up that void with all kinds of things. There is in the heart of man an innate desire to worship a supreme being. That's exactly true. These folks, man, they started offering these sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. Now, listen very carefully. One of these days, see, they worked a miracle. They told this man, stand up and walk. He jumped up and started walking. Running through town, a man that had been lame all his life. You say, well, my goodness. Hey, let me tell you something. The Bible says one of these days, the Antichrist is going to come. And the Bible says that Satan is going to give him power to do signs and wonders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, don't turn there. Verse number 9, even him, talking about the Antichrist, listen, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Power, signs, lying wonders. Satan is going to give the Antichrist power, and people will worship him as God. Now wait just a minute. Regardless of what the Left Behind film series tells, people who have heard a clear presentation of the gospel prior to the rapture will not have a chance and opportunity to be saved after the rapture. Now, Left Behind tells you that you will, but Left Behind is not the Bible. Left Behind is a movie. I wouldn't base my eternal destiny or the chances of my going to heaven on a movie. A movie. I'm going to tell you something, I didn't need to see Passion, and I've never seen Passion. I don't need to see Passion because I got it recorded right here in this book. Oh, you see that. Now, listen very carefully. People who have heard the gospel before the rapture, who are unsaved, according to the Bible, will not, after the rapture, have an opportunity to be saved. What then does that mean? I believe that means that people who have heard the gospel prior to salvation but have rejected it will be caught up. They'll be caught up in the Antichrist thing. They'll be sucked in. Because this guy is coming in doing lying wonders and signs and miracles and all this stuff the Bible says with all kinds of power. And people are going to look at that and they're going to be deluded. The Bible says that God is going to send strong delusion and people are going to follow the Antichrist. Worshiping the Antichrist, him who is the very seed of Satan, is going to be the object of people's worship. That's going to happen as sure as you and I are sitting in this room. I just don't want it to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to you. It's horrible, friend, to die and go to hell, but especially from the pews of a Baptist church. Now you think about that. You think about people that have been exposed to the truth, but they're not saved. They're left behind. I hate to use that term even, but they're left behind at the rapture, for lack of a better term. They're left behind. And they got in their mind, oh no, I'm saved and I rejected the gospel. What am I going to do? Why, they'd be suicidal. Sure they would. So what's going to happen to that crowd? I believe they're going to be caught up in the lying wonders and the signs and the powers of the Antichrist. Satan is going to fill that man with all kinds of power. Satanic power. Unbelievable power. I don't have time to go into it this morning. And people are going to worship. Why? Because God created man with an innate void, a desire to worship a supreme being. Here, these heathen Gentiles in the city of Lystra, they were going to worship and make sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. They thought the gods had come to earth. Ah, the gods have come to earth. The gods have come to earth. Let's get a sacrifice. I want you to know what these true men of God did. Verses 14 and 15, look at it. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you. And Paul said, we are men like your men. We're not gods in human flesh. We're men like your man. And then he says, we preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. You like to mark your Bible? You can circle that phrase right there and write repentance and faith. Turn from these vanities unto the living God. Friend, that's salvation. When you turn from whatever it is that you're putting your trust in, when you turn from whatever it is that is prohibiting you from putting your trust in Christ, when you turn from that to Jesus, that is repentance and faith in the very same action. We got a lot of crazy teaching on repentance and faith. People who go off to extremes on both issues. People who believe that repentance is something that you've got to work up. You've got to be in this sorrowful state and you've got to mourn and grovel on the ground and be under a dark cloud for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And then finally you come to faith in Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. That is unscriptural teaching. The act of repentance and faith is like a coin. A coin has two sides of the same coin, heads and tails. Repentance and faith is exactly what you read here. Be a person who knows the Bible. Look at that phrase right here. Turn from these vanities unto the living God. That's salvation. That's repentance and faith. Everybody who's been saved exercised repentance and faith. Now, you may have been so young, you didn't realize the repentance issue. But if you're saved, you repented. You can't be saved without being. You can't be saved without repenting. Can't be. Years ago, I had the opportunity to witness to a fella, and a grown man, and his nephew was sitting there. His name was the man I was witnessing to. His name was John. I forget the nephew's boy. He's 11-year-old boy. I won't forget that. I was going through the plan of salvation with John. I was sitting there talking to John. He got all the way down to the end of the plan of salvation. I talked about repentance and faith, turning from those things that keep you from turning to Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus to save you, in Jesus alone. And I said, John, wouldn't you like to be saved? That 11-year-old boy spoke up. He was a little smart aleck. He spoke up and he said, let me ask you a question. If John gets saved, will he have to give up his beer? I said, let me tell you something, pal. I said, if John doesn't have to give up his beer in order to get saved, but if he gets saved, he'll want to give up his beer. And he won't let his beer stand in the way of him receiving Christ as his Savior. When I said that, John got up off the couch and walked in the living room. Conversation was over. It was ended. You know what John was saying? I'm not giving up my beer. Well, let me tell you something. You think I was going to lead him in a prayer? Say these words after me. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Savior. I'm not going to lead a fellow in a prayer like that. Friend, if they will not turn, they can't be saved. Are you listening this morning? This is repentance and faith. This is salvation. Turning from idols to the living God. From the vanities unto the living God. Paul said, look, man, don't worship us. We're men just like you. We preach that you should turn from the worship of these gods to the true and living God. I don't have time to read every verse here. Paul said, you need a relationship with the Creator. You need a relationship with the Provider. That's who you need a relationship with. We're just men like your men. Turn your heart to God. And by the way, they successfully deterred the people from offering sacrifices to them. The people held off, didn't do it. Now, let's keep going. The Bible says, verse number 19, here we go. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Well, Antioch and Iconium, folks, are places that Paul and Barnabas had already been. You've been here the last several Sundays. We've already talked about that, right? These are places where Paul and Barnabas had already been. Now, watch this. These people come from Antioch and Iconium, and these Jews, they're angry, they're mad. They come in and they persuade the people. They get them all riled up. And they get them worked up to the place where verse number 19 says that they stoned Paul. Drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, let me ask you a question. Just an hour ago, they were going to worship them. And now they're stoning him. What's that? That's kind of fickle, isn't it? I mean, an hour ago, they were going to cut off, you know, offer sacrifices, and these the gods have come down to the earth, and now they're stoning him. Just shows you exactly how fickle man can be. Here one minute, here the next. Here one minute, here the next. Blown about by every wind of doctrine, such and such. This book is the only thing that gives you stability, friend. That's why you got to be a person of the Bible. Read it. Get it in your heart. More than just getting in your Bible. Get the Bible in you. Let the Spirit of God write the Bible on your heart. Learn its principles. Live it. This Bible will give you stability. Do you see the instability of these people who had no Bible influence? They're going to make an offering 1 hour, and the next hour they're stoning Paul. I suggest that's fickle. I mean, extremely fickle. So they stone Paul, and then they drug him outside of the city. And folks, the Bible says he was so badly stoned, they thought he was dead. They left him dead. I said to him, he's dead. But right here, we have the event that Paul never thought would have happened when he began this day. I'm not talking about the stoning. Okay, Paul didn't see the stoning coming either. When he woke up that morning, he didn't say, oh boy, this is a great day, I'm going to get stoned today. He didn't see that. But something else transpired here in this event. In these moments when Paul was lying there, people thought he was dead. In those moments, he was very near death. Yes, he was so near death. Paul saw heaven. He saw heaven. And he more than just saw heaven, he went to heaven. As he was laying there in the ground, Paul had one of these out-of-body experiences. And years later, he wrote about it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you brought your Bible today, we're going to be here now the rest of the morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul has been drug out of the city, stoned and drug out of the city. He is so physically beaten, they think he's dead. And he is near death, so near death that he visits heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was writing to the Corinthian people about the horror, about the honor. I looked at the word honor and thought it was horror. There's a little difference in horror and honor. Amen. Paul was writing to the Corinthian people in 2 Corinthians 12 about the honor that God had given him. And did not God give Paul a lot of honor? Didn't he? I mean, he got to pen 12 books in the New Testament. And start churches. Boy, Paul gave... Now look at this. Look at verse number 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Notice what he says here. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise. Those are words. Caught up. Caught up into paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to honor. Paul said about 14 years ago, I knew a man. He had an out-of-body experience. Was he dead? Was he alive? I don't know. God knows. The truth of the matter is, friend, that business is God's. It is God's business. Listen very carefully. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian people in third person about himself. He's speaking about himself here. He says above 14 years ago, you do your little Bible study and you go back 14 years in the life of the Apostle Paul. You know where he is 14 years previous to when he's writing Corinth here? He's on his first missionary journey. Which is what we've been reading about in Acts 13 and 14. He's in the region of Lucania. He's in the city of Lystra. He's in the city of Derbe. That's where he is 14 years ago. Paul said, I knew a man. Third person, I knew a man. 14 years ago, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. God knows. He was caught up to the third heaven. I don't know if he was in the body or out of the body, but he was caught up to paradise. And he heard things unlawful for us to utter. You see, he was stoned outside of Lystra. He was left for dead. And laying there on that ground, he had one of those near-death, out-of-body experiences. And in this near-death experience, friend, he not only saw heaven, he went there. He got close enough to hear things that were going on. Hey, listen to me, friend. Listen very carefully. You say, well, I just don't know. No, this happens to people who are saved. The reason we don't hear a lot about it is most of them go on up there and stay. Y'all with me this morning? I feel like I'm preaching to an empty congregation this morning. I really do. Since the beginning of the service. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? The reason we don't hear about this kind of stuff is because most people who get that close stay there. They don't come back. But every now and again, they come back. It's caught in limbo. I mean, it's not that they don't have a place to go. Paul was headed there. It's one of these out-of-body experiences where they get close enough to heaven. They are able to see, to hear. But every now and then, someone like Paul gets real close, and then they don't die. And they revive. Life comes back to the body, and they live to testify about what they saw and heard. You say, Pastor, you stayed up too late last night. No, that's real, friend. That's real. Is that real, Brother Terry? Yes, of course it is real. Friend, do you? We don't understand because we haven't died yet. But we don't understand how quick this transition is. Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Boom, then. There is no trend. There is no long lingering state of transition. There's no long lingering state for a child of God in purgatory. Come on, that's not in the Bible. Show me one verse that teaches purgatory. You can't find it. You folks who used to be Roman Catholic, that's one of the things that you look back on and really detest. You were taught things that weren't even in this book. And you were never encouraged to read it to find out if they were in there or not. Hey, there's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no long lingering state of transition. The truth of the matter is, people are there before they breathe their last breath here. I'm convinced of that. Here's what Valerie wrote for me some weeks ago. Now, I didn't ask her for this. She just said, Pastor Terry said she that, you know, you might enjoy having this. These were Terry died on Sunday morning. Terry went to heaven. Died nothing. Terry's more alive today than he ever has been. He went to heaven on a Sunday morning. Friday and Saturday, though, these things were happening. I don't have time to read it all. He would slowly lift in a comatose, unresponsive state, he would lift his hand and wave at somebody. I mean, he couldn't speak to Valerie. Couldn't speak to his kids, but he raised his hand and did it. Wave at somebody. In a comatose state, over and over again, throughout those 2 days, Friday and Saturday, he said the word, Hallelujah. His eyes were fixed. They were fixed. I was there when his eyes were fixed. I saw him. Eyes were fixed in his head, and yet still breathing. And every now and again, Valerie said the little word, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And waving. I've told you before, my great-grandmother, not me, Ma, but her Ma Jo. Ma Jo got saved late in life. Dr. Joe, I can't think of his name right now. Doesn't matter anyway, but he built that. Joe Hinton, can't think of his name. I want to. Isn't that bad? Amen. Boy, that aggravates you, doesn't it? Oh, boy. But anyway, he came by the house and led my great-grandmother to the Lord when my mother was expecting me. And just soon after that, my great-grandmother got in bad physical condition, died in the house, died at home. And in her last hours, with my mother expecting, talk about Hilda. That's her daughter. That's my grandmother. Hilda, I see Jesus, and I see the baby. What baby? Amanda's baby. Well, it is a boy. Beautiful boy. Handsome guy. Glory, man, he's a great guy, man. Smart, intelligent. Got it all over him, man. Right, girls? Because my daughter's up there this morning. Amen. Yeah. Of course it's real. Of course it's real. The truth of the matter is, people are there before they leave here. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. You say, well, I don't know. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're talking about an event that didn't make much of an impact on you in your past, you might tell somebody, oh, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. But if you tell somebody 14 years ago, that's pretty specific, isn't it? Paul didn't say, about, 15, 20 years. Sometime in the past, 15, 20 years ago. Paul said just a little over 14 years ago. I knew a man, he was caught up into the third heaven. Just a few years ago, caught up into the third heaven, into paradise, saw things that were unlawful for him to speak about. Paul was talking about himself. Oh, brother, hey, if you're not saved, boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't wait to get saved another day. I'd get saved this morning. I'd be ready to go to that place that Paul Saul went to in that near-death experience. Look at what he said. We learned about heaven in these verses. I got a little time. That's good. Look, first of all, look here. He called it the third heaven. Third heaven. This is the atmospheric heaven. Now, it's not in this room. But what you see up here, these planets and stars, that's the atmospheric heaven where these bodies live. Then you've got the, where's my notes here? Then you've got the atmospheric heaven, I should pay attention to my notes here. I'm getting excited, I'm getting beyond myself. The atmospheric heaven is where the birds fly, the planes go, so forth and so on. The starry heaven right here, the planets, the moons, the stars. But Paul said he went beyond that. Paul said he went further than a plane. And Paul said he went further than a space shuttle. He went beyond the stars. Beyond the planets, beyond the universe, what man can see with his natural eye, way up there to the third heaven. Who's in the third heaven? That's where God resides. That's where the glory of God is revealed completely. The third heaven, that's where God lives. Paul said he was caught up there into the third heaven. And the songwriters had it right, didn't they? There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, I can see it afar. By faith. By faith. I can't lay eyes on it now. But by faith, I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. The songwriter had it right. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Beyond where the birds fly, beyond where the planes go, beyond where the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets, where God lives. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. That's the third heaven. It's where you're headed if you're saved. It's where you're headed the moment you leave this world. That third heaven. They're going to take a trip, friend. I'm not going to stop up there and shake hands with the birds and wave at the people on the airplanes. I'm not going to stop and dance around on Saturn's rings. Saturn's rings are deflated. They're croaking. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to blast past all these bodies, these heavenly bodies, into that third heaven. You say, how do I know it's real? Paul saw it. Paul was there. He visited it. I don't know if he actually crossed in through the gates, but he got close enough to hear something. Sounds like a place to me. Number two, he called it paradise. Look at verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise. That's a reference to what? Garden of Eden. Garden of God, a park, orchard, a place of blessedness, a place of complete happiness, a garden of God, paradise. Huh? What Paul was caught up to. This is not the paradise in the Old Testament. This is not the paradise that was on the other side of Hades, where the Old Testament saints were held in captivity until Jesus died visited that paradise because he told the thief in the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Visited that place and led all those Old Testament saints from paradise to heaven. This third heaven. Garden of God, a park. Well, sure. Sure it is. Folks, the Bible tells us it's got a river there. Bible tells us it's got trees there. Real trees. Bearing their fruit in their season. 12 manner of fruit all year long. A beautiful park, a garden of God, paradise. And then look what Paul said, number 3. He said, "I heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Let me ask you a question. You ever heard somebody preaching in a message, a pastor, evangelist, somebody preaching in a message, and they say something like, I'm not going to be too graphic and I'm not going to describe that because it's not really right to talk about that in a public meeting. You ever heard somebody say that? When they say that, what are they talking about? Something bad or something good? Something bad or something good? Bad. But Paul's not talking about something bad. He's talking about something so good. He said it wouldn't be right for me to talk about it now. Sometime I'll read a book. You know, they may have a graphic illustration, give statistics, filthiness. That's one reason why I like Dennis Corll's book. A lot of these books written on the subject of homosexuality, they're so filthy you can't read them. He wrote about sodomy, the sickest sin on earth. At least he put out a book that you could read without contaminating your mind. Because that filth is too nasty to speak about in public. But that's not what we're talking about here, Paul said. It was so good. I heard things unspeakable. It wouldn't be right for me to even talk about what I heard. There's Hallelujah Chorus. Can you imagine singing with glorified voices? Can you imagine music not contaminated by the sinful will and nature of man? Can you imagine musical instruments in perfection, played in perfection, vocalization, perfection? Paul said, "I heard so much, it wouldn't even be right to talk about how wonderful it is." That's where I'm going. That's where you're going if you're saved. He heard things that were so wonderful, so glorious, so tremendous. He said it wouldn't be right for me to talk about it. I'm talking about heaven. I'm not talking about where the birds and the planes go. I'm not talking about where the planets live and exist. I'm talking about where God is, the third heaven, paradise, a place so wonderful. You can't even, wouldn't it be right to talk about it in front of humans? We're going there someday. Paul went there, saw it. Brian Sharp saw it. I don't have time to go into it this morning. Brian Sharp had one of these out-of-body experiences, and he saw it. I never forget dear old Miss Chance out there in Iowa. She saw it. And what blesses my heart. Miss Chance was such a simple woman. So simple. Not mentally impaired. Just simple. Just simple. I'd go visit her, and she'd say, "Well, no. Brother Terry, let me get you something." And she'd come back with a quart of green beans. She'd come out of the freezer with a chicken. "I found these at the super. I went to Fairway the other day, and they had these on sale. And I bought one for you. And I put it in the freezer. And I'm going to get it." So this chicken, just simple woman. She heard her children weren't right. But oh, was she saved. Whew. Oh, was she saved. Oh. Oh, was she saved. Sick in the hospital, really ran out of town. I'm there, walk in the room. I think she's gone. Her lips are blue. Color that boy's shirt right there, Dan's shirt. Her lips are blue. I felt her feet cold. I mean, like an ice cube. unresponsive. I said, that his chance is gone. Went back the next day. Hi, Brother Terry. Hi, Miss Chance. I was here yesterday. I thought you was dead. I saw it. I was there. I saw it. I saw it. What'd you see? I saw the light, the bright light, and I saw the green tree, oh, the prettiest river. Glory to God. Whew. And isn't that just like God letting a simple woman with simple faith get an early glimpse of glory? Huh? Oh, yeah, it's real, folks. It's real. It's more real than this pulpit. Because someday this pulpit's going to burn up. But not that place. I'll make three statements and done this morning. Number one, we need to live in this world with that world in mind. It is so easy to be caught up in the things of this world. Do you understand, folks, how easy it is to be caught up in temporal things, things that are temporary? Do you understand that? Well, say yes. Amen. All of us are there. We're all living in it. And to some degree, we're all caught up in it. Some more than others. I marvel. I watch people jump from thing to 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 thing. It's just spectacle. Those are all temporal things, folks. And if you're in search of true joy, you're not going to find it in these things. Temporal stuff. I'm not against them. I got some myself. But get what you can. Enjoy it. But don't just live for that world. Live in this world with that world in mind. We're going to live up there a lot longer. We're going to live down here. You ready to do that? We look at somebody like Brother James Kent in the hospital this morning, 83 years of age. My goodness. And Lori Campbell's grandfather, Arthur Dastick, 91 years of age. Look, that's old. Do you realize what that is in eternity? That's where we're going to live. This is temporary. How do you treat things on earth that you know are temporary? You know, I'm not going to put a lot of money into that because it's temporary. People think when you preach like this, you're against folks having things. I'm not against things. But I am against Americans especially. The temptation to be so caught up in the materialism of this world gets our mind off of that world. Huh? You hear that thing all the time. Oh, you're so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. How many people you know like that? How many people do you know like that? So heavenly minded, they just. Now, can I suggest to you that most of our problem is that we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Come on now, we you know what? I sometimes it seems like there's a big wall goes up when the preaching starts, and it's me versus you. This is not me against you. This is me and you together. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm trying to help us all. Jesus is coming. We're going to live there someday. We need to live in this world with that world in mind. Number two, we need to live in this world like we might be in this. We need to live in this world like we might be in that world before the day ends. Are you ready to go to that world? Do you have any regrets? I was thinking this week, my goodness, we've been through a season here of surgeries and deaths and people in the hospital, and it's just non-ending. I don't know if our church is getting older. Surely none of us are getting older. median age of this church, there's still a bunch of young people. Just ask the nursery workers. Gloria Palmateer goes in to get her kidney stones smashed and find out she's got to have triple or quadruple bypass surgery this week. James Kent laying down there in the hospital, and I don't like the way Brother James looks. But the honest truth of the matter is, friend, we have no idea who from this congregation will be the next one to leave this world. It might be you, it might be me. Are you ready? Are you ready to go to that world? Huh? I need to live every day as if I might end the day. You think Paul planned this trip? And we need to be prepared for the right world. Amen. The right world is heaven. Caught up. The wrong eternal world is hell. The references to hell in the Bible are down. The references to heaven in the Bible, caught up. Which direction are you going? Are you ready? If this day is your last day, is my last day, are we ready to go? Are we ready to go? Is it sealed, settled? Is it done? Huh? What a day. What a day. When would Paul would have thought if he'd have turned, if you'd have told him at the beginning of that day, Paul, you're going to visit heaven today. But he did. And he got close enough to hear and see. I didn't have time to do this. I don't have time to preach it if I did. But you know what I thought about? It'd be a good Bible study to take the date when Paul was stoned and then read everything he wrote after that about heaven. Because after 45 AD, 46 AD, he was writing firsthand information. He'd seen it. I'm going to that place. I want to live here. My wife and I were talking about it the other day. You get to talk about funny things. I said, I'm asking the Lord to help me live long enough to see Cherith get married. She said, oh, there. She started figuring that up. I said, 9:19. I said, you got somebody in mind? Only 12 more years with you, Buster. She said, longer than that? I said, yeah, longer than that, but at least that long. Huh? I love to live. I love life. But I'll tell you what, when my number's called, think about old Bruce Fry singing that song, Brother Greg. I know you listened to it because your boy told me you did. Every day it's the same CD, going to work. Same CD, coming home. Same CD, going to work. Same CD. Same CD. When I'm gone, don't weep for me. Don't mourn for me. What are the words of that? I'll be there before you know I'm gone. I'll be there before you know I'm gone. I'll be there. And so will you. Glory to God. No wonder that John Rice, no wonder that fella put a gun to him and said, I'll kill you. And John Rice said, you can't scare me with heaven. Man, isn't that good? Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to be a Christian? Let's pray together. My Father, thank you for your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. We love you. We thank you for heaven. We thank you for life on this earth. But Lord, my goodness, what must it going to be like someday in that wonderful place? Thank you for this text in the Bible that tells us about it. Speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. Who would say, Brother Angel? Now, please be honest. Please don't be dishonest. Who would say, Brother Angel, I am sure that I'm saved. I'm on my way to that place, and I know it without a shadow of a doubt. Don't raise your hand because somebody else does. Don't raise your hand because you think it's the thing to do. Don't raise your hand because you think it makes me happy. important matter now is what God knows. What does God know? Are you saved? Would you put your hand up as a testimony to that? If you're saved and you know it, thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Is there somebody here today who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the church today? Front to back, side to side, member, visitor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody? All right. If you're not sure that you're saved, Brother Caleb will be right down here in the front. At the invitation time, just come down here and say, Brother Caleb, I need to know how to be saved. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. Who would say, Pastor, pray for me. I've been saved, but I've not taken that first step of obedience yet of being baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room this morning? Not been baptized since I've been saved. All right, let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If this is the place that you want to join the church and be faithful and attend, you've talked to myself and Brother Caleb, then you come do that this morning. If you need to talk to one of us, let us know. Christian, are you ready to live in that world? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you live in this world with that one in mind? Are you prepared to go to that place if your trip would take place today? Are you ready? Huh? That third heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. They're playing. Would you come this morning and let the Lord do work in your heart? Would you come? As the ladies play, step out and come. Are you living in this world with that world in mind? Is it on your mind? Do you do things in this life thinking about eternity? Do you? Do you live with this thing in mind? One of these days, I'll live in that place. Would you come? We wait this morning. Come to be saved. Trust Christ as your Savior. Come to follow the Lord in believers' baptism as the ladies play. Make a decision for Christ this morning. You'll be glad you did. Would you come? Lord, help me to live in this world with that world in mind. Help me to live today like this might be the last day I live in this world. Would you come this morning? While some are praying, come and join these on the altar this morning. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Thank you, dear Father, for your love for us. Thank you for putting this in the Bible, in this text, so that we could know about it. God, help us to live today, this week, with that world in mind. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.